I'm Alex Augustiniak, and welcome to another episode of Positively Geared. I'm joined by host Lloyd Edge. Welcome, Lloyd.
Hi, Alex. How are you going today?
I'm feeling great, Lloyd. It's great to be back in the studio. We've got a lot to talk about today. It's a really exciting podcast today, in fact, because we're here to discuss the launch of your new book, Buy Now. We'll get straight into it, Lloyd. Tell me about what motivated you to write another book so soon after the great success of Positively Geared?
Well, very interesting, Alex, because once I'd done Positively Geared, I actually thought I wasn't going to write another book for, you know, maybe 5 years. I actually did think that I probably would write another book in the future. I've been very fortunate, and thanks to all the people that had bought Positively Geared, but it was the number one selling property book in Australia for 2020 and 2021, and still is. So the publisher, Wiley, actually approached me and asked me to write another book. And this was actually at the start of 2021. And yeah, that sort of took me back at the time, and I thought, oh, I don't know whether I can do that right now. I'm, you know, pretty busy and everything like that. And then, you know, we're about to have another baby. My wife, Renee, was basically saying, whatever you do, do not write another book now. We've got a toddler. We're about to have another baby. You're running your business, all that kind of stuff. So I decided, well, you know, you don't get these sort of opportunities every day. I agreed to write the book against all the good advice I was being given at home, because I felt that there was a lot of things that I could probably still offer that I probably didn't cover necessarily in Positively Geared. And there's probably a lot of people out there that could do with a bit of information that wasn't necessarily covered in Positively Geared.
And I think, Lloyd, you know, we were just chatting briefly before we got started, before we hit the go button, and there's so much to talk about in 2022. You know, since Positively Geared was launched and great success, fast forward to today, there's so much to talk about, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. The markets are absolutely crazy. What we call them is the pandemic markets, really. But the markets through late 2020 through 2021 and then the shift that we've seen into 2022 has been quite crazy. And there's definitely been a shift that also means that there's probably other things that you need to look at in terms of evaluating your budget, how you set your strategy and the type of properties that you need to buy and everything like that as well, which also means that, you know, adding some further content through another book can assist further people as well.
So, Lloyd, tell me about, and all our listeners today, who is Buy Now for and who's it not for?
Well, Buy Now is really for everybody. I came to the realization that everybody needs a roof over their head. And, you know, most people are really looking to buy a home. So while Positively Geared was really about how to build up a portfolio towards financial independence, obviously had a lot of work around investments, around building duplexes and creating equity and everything like that. Not everybody necessarily wants to do that or is in a position to do that, or indeed people may invest in other ventures such as you know, the stock market or oil and that sort of thing. So therefore, you know, putting that aside, people still want to buy a home. So there's a lot of emphasis in Buy Now about actually how to buy just your standard family home and how to upsize into your dream home and what you need to go through to look for the right home, how to buy in the right suburb, how to budget, how to understand the markets, and then eventually how to downsize your property as well. So it's really for everybody.
That sounds great, Lloyd. And, you know, the landscape, as we briefly touched on, has shifted. I mean, the property market is always, you know, ebbing and flowing and moving sidewards, and it's not static. With the benefit of hindsight, Lloyd, I think we can hopefully both agree that that peak of the market was probably somewhere around August, September in 2021. And, you know, when things do shift, you know, you've got to change your strategy. A strategy that might have been really appropriate 6 or 12 months ago might not be the right strategy moving forward. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people were seeing a lot of growth, a lot of very fast moving markets, and like typically happens during a bull market, people think it's never going to end, and, you know, people are thinking that they're just going to get continuous growth on their properties. So a lot of people were just getting that equity and then reinvesting. Other people were trying to sell their properties, take the profit, move along and everything. But as things slow down, then you need to reevaluate, how can you get into that next property? What will your next move be? How can you afford that next move?
If we take a deep dive into your book Buy Now, the tagline is the ultimate guide to owning or investing in property. So as we've already touched on, you know, we sort of see that this is going to open up a whole new world of information, you know, moving from Positively Geared to your new book by now. One of the first things that people can expect to achieve by reading this book is probably one of the most important steps, you know, creating a financial plan before you go out there shopping. Why is that so important?
Yeah, so it's really important to have that financial plan. Firstly, you need to understand your budget and what sort of property you can actually afford, because you might want to live in this fantastic suburb, but you know, you might have champagne taste but only a milk budget. So you need to understand what you can afford and understand where you can buy and everything like that. And like we'll discuss, and like I've discussed a lot before, that involves getting a pre-approval and getting your finances in place. But taking a step back from that, financial plan really means budgeting, particularly these days with the banks when they're assessing you to get your approval. They look at your spending habits. They look at how much you're spending on Netflix, on takeaways. Do you have car loans? You know, how much money are you spending on kids and private school fees and all sorts of things? So you need to really understand yourself what your outgoings are. You know, create a budget there and start to set yourself up with a bit of a financial plan ahead of time.
And something, Lloyd, that definitely hasn't changed and I don't think ever will change is the importance of a dream team. So, you know, while we can only give general advice, now's a great time when you are at that stage where you've made the decision that you want to go buy, whether it's your family home or whatever the case may be, could be a dream home. Reach out to your accountant, reach out to your broker, get them to give you the right framework to get yourself looking as good as possible when it comes time to going to banks to borrow.
Well, that's right, Alex. And particularly, you know, when you speak to your broker, as we discussed before, they'll be able to match you up with the best lenders for your circumstances. And it comes back to, you know, the sort of employment history you've got. You know, if you're self-employed, then it can be a little bit trickier to get loans. You might need to get a low doc loan. Some lenders will be able to do that, some won't. A broker will know how to sort that out for you, you know, the best. On top of that, it's also advisable that you speak to a financial advisor too, because, you know, whether you're buying your own home or whether you're looking to invest, you need to look at the bigger picture about things. So your team really needs to involve a lot of people, and your accountant and financial advisor are usually not the same person. They could be if they're so qualified, but you really need, yeah, those people. You need to have your mortgage broker, everybody there, and yeah, setting that team up like I've always spoken about and like we spoke about in Positively Geared.
I think part of even the financial planning side, and I speak more in relation to the book and, you know, creating a plan to essentially go on your property search, you know, part of that, and I suppose, Lloyd, being a buyer's agent by trade, you know, you'll be on a daily basis educating your clients on this. You know, just because the bank might say, hey, you can borrow X, doesn't mean that you need to go spend X. You know, it's important to have a buffer. It's important to, you know, possibly evaluate a few different areas before you commit to a purchase in one, to see essentially what will allow you to get the property as close to the one you're hoping for as possible, but also might be the most financially intelligent way to do that.
So there's a couple of things that we need to sort of look at with that. So number one is I always think that it's a good idea to borrow under your borrowing capacity. So you've got a bit left in the tank to move forward, particularly if you may be looking to invest as well. Or if you are buying an investment property, then, you know, buying something under your capacity, having good cash flow on that, and then that'll give you serviceability to move forward to another property, which then could be your home. So it depends which order you do that in. But also, depending on, you know, if you're looking for a home, you know, you've got a bit of a budget there, and part of your strategy might be to buy something that's a little bit older, a bit dated, needs a bit of TLC done to it. You might need to buy something, you know, a bit cheaper there so that you can do a renovation. You need to spend less of your savings, less of your deposit, less of your borrowing capacity, so you've got a bit of money left to actually be able to spend on that renovation. So you need to keep all that in mind. That's all part of your financial plan. What is your goal for this property? If you've got a pre-approval up to, say, $1 million, and then you spend all of that $1 million on that property, then, you know, you might be completely maxed out and then you've got nowhere to go. So you really need to look overall, you know, what's the goal? What are you trying to do? And what are you trying to do next? Because often people are also wanting to, you know, invest, or maybe they already do invest, and getting your dream home or your family home is part of that overall picture as well. So, and that's why having a good, you know, financial advisor, you know, a property advisor or a buyer's agent, you know, to help, you know, ascertain those sort of things are, you know, really important for you.
And Lloyd, for those who might be listening, and whether they're first dipping their toe into the water in terms of getting really serious about how they approach investing or buying a dream home. You know, they'll probably be soaking this information up like a sponge at the moment. For those who, let's call them strictly your mum and dad investors, that, you know, they might listen and say, well, that all sounds great, Lloyd. That sounds great, Alex. But, you know, we don't really have the time or inclination to look at this purchase in such a detailed level. We just want to find, you know, a home that we can call ours for another 10, 20 years until either they pass or need to downsize. Is there something in the book that they'll be able to still take away with them to use to their advantage?
Yes, absolutely. So I've got a couple of chapters about that actually, about, you know, full details on how to go about, you know, the search and how to find the, you know, the right property there. So, you know, I really delve into detail around how to understand the markets, how to understand what property values are worth in your in the suburbs you're wanting to buy in. So often people will go and they'll be looking at properties or they'll miss out on auctions and everything like that. And it really comes down to the fact they don't really understand what the markets are doing, and they're probably looking at properties that are going to go for more than what they're actually you know, quoted for. So they need to really understand what comparable sales are for, what comparable sales have been selling for and everything like that. But more than that, if they've got a particular brief in mind, a particular house, so for example, if you're looking to buy, you know, close to the beach and you're looking for a four-bedroom home and you need a pool, and you want a couple of bathrooms, you need a double garage, you need an office space, you want to be in a quiet street and all sorts of things, but your budget doesn't stand to that, then we also look at how you can compromise and what you can compromise on. Do you buy in another suburb or do you buy back from the beach? And you know, do you compromise on price or do you compromise on the position of the property? So there's a few things that we look at there. So you still get the right property, but in a slightly different area, or you might still buy in the, you know, the same area, but the house might be a little bit older and inferior and might need a bit of an upgrade.
Let's build on Lloyd, understanding the ever-changing market, which I know in Buy Now is one of the key topics that you cover. Seeing so much change within a such short period of time in many markets in the country, if we treat every suburb as its own market, makes it really important, in my view, to use this opportunity to further educate yourself. And Buy Now is such a great tool to do that, so that you can empower yourself with as much knowledge as possible to go back out into that market this year. Now, it's not just the property market itself in isolation that's changing. You know, we look at the global climate, economically, socially. There's a lot happening in the world right now, and at varying degrees, you know, I feel that invariably can influence the market to some degree. What is the best advice you can give people, and what can they expect to get out of Buy Now that will help give them a stronger read on how to approach the market?
Yeah, so Alex, you've actually covered a lot of information there that I go into quite broad detail, because it is about understanding everything that's occurring. So when the markets are changing, there's a reason for that. It's not just as simple as you know, the property's going up or the property's prices are going down. You know, with pending interest rate increases, then there's always talk about prices slowing down. Then you know, we talk about why that's occurring. But then there's what's happening overseas, that can have a bit of an impact. Although it doesn't have a direct impact, it has an impact where people feel that it's going to have a bit of an impact. So people get a little bit more scared to do stuff, so they hold back a bit and things like that. So we talk about those sort of factors. Then there's government changes, there's pandemic issues and things like that that have occurred, and you know, a lot of things have occurred over the last couple of years. So I go into quite in-depth issues in the book, so people can sort of understand, you know, what causes markets to change and why they change so quickly, and also so you can understand how you can still buy, you know, in the current market. So whenever you're trying to buy, you know, you can still buy. You need to understand what the markets are doing so that you're not getting priced out.
And that's something that I really love about this new book. It's not necessarily a guide book, if you like, that works in one market. It's something that you can apply to every market. And, you know, the beauty of that is, as we've acknowledged, you know, with markets constantly changing, it's important to have, you know, a Bible, for lack of a better term, that you can refer to help sort of navigate through those changing waters as they happen.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So, yeah, no, that they're all the sort of things that I cover across in the book. So, and getting back to what I was sort of talking about before in total, in terms of, you know, suburb selection and getting the right house, we also talk about, you know, your top three preference of suburbs and then secondary suburbs things. So we can narrow that down. So it kind of really helps people to think about those things so that, you know, you may not have the, you know, the time to do things, but you just want to get this house. But it sort of helps you to understand how to do that, how to approach that, how to talk to real estate agents, get on their shortlist to understand what properties are coming to the market so you can get a good understanding of what's there, and giving you a brief to an agent so that they can contact you if they get something that is along the lines of what you're looking for, and building up those contacts with agents, because that's really important. Because if you can get on a, I guess what's called an off-market list, that you can get a listing from an agent before it goes live out to the, you know, realestate.com or domain, then you can be a little bit ahead of you know, most of the market as well.
Absolutely. And you know, I think one of the questions that we're going to be continually asked nonstop until it happens is, you know, what's happening with interest rates? What's happening with the RBA? What's going to happen to the cash rate? I mean, at the moment, I think it's fair to say everything's purely speculation. You know, none of us have a crystal ball to know when. I think the if is probably a bit more of a solid grounds in terms of if it happens. Yes, I think it will. But you know, none of us can predict when. So, you know, what we're discussing now could remain for some time, which it'll be good to look back in hindsight and see how it all played out. But, you know, people obviously at any given time are trying to make a decision on when to buy their dream home or when to buy that investment property. How important is it to not get too caught up in trying to time the market? Because, you know, there's so many things that can change. Just because the RBA increases the cash rate doesn't always necessitate that we're going to see a huge market crash. You know, there's so many different ways both state and federal government can control the flow of money in the property space. What advice would you give to people listening today that, you know, they've intended to pick up the book by now and they're really excited to go out there and, you know, finally put into action whatever they're planning to do? But are still somewhat cautious of what this year or next might bring in the interest rate space.
Yeah, so that's all really, really good points, Alex. And I think the main thing that I'd like to say to people is it's not a matter of if you should buy, it's a matter of where you should buy in the current markets. And that's why I've kind of, you know, titled the book Buy Now, because it's kind of encouraging people to say it's okay to buy now. You can buy now. And that's relevant to whether you're buying now or in 6 months' time or 6 years ago or in 20 years. You know, with interest rates being the lowest they've ever been, they're going to increase. There's, as you said, a lot of speculation, and that's really coming from the banks at the moment. Banks are generally increasing their rates at the moment anyway, ahead of the RBA, and the banks are sort of speculating when they're going to be increasing or when the RBA is going to be increasing the rates. RBA sort of indicated it's going to be a bit late in that. Sooner or later, that will occur, but that's also a sign of a stronger economy as well. So I don't have a problem with interest rates increasing. I think that you know, people just need to make sure that you know, when you're getting mortgages, that you're not over your head and everything, and you can understand those repayments. The other thing also is that you know, banks do generally assess you at 3% above the interest rate the bank's offering you anyway. So you know, so they do assess whether the interest rates are going to increase that much anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a big reason why, you know, when we did see some changes with APRA sort of towards the tail end of last year, you know, borrowing capacity for some did pull back that little bit. And I think the other thing too is, Lloyd, you know, for some people that, you know, they've decided that they are comfortable to be a bit more highly leveraged with their investment strategy, they might not necessarily be on the most competitive interest rates in the market as it is. So it might not be a real difference for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people do need to be a little bit careful about whether they fix. I mean, I had a conversation just recently with someone who's been offered a fixed rate for 5 years. And I think that's a long time to be fixing rates, thinking that the interest rate is going to keep increasing. Because one thing that I think is really important for people to at least consider is you can't beat banks at their own game. So if banks are offering you what appears to be a reasonable interest rate for 5 years, then you know, I think they're probably looking a little bit more ahead and they've got a little bit more knowledge than what you might have as well. So just be aware of those sort of things.
Absolutely. Lloyd, we're going to move along now to one of the key points in your new book, Buy Now, which is finding the dream home. Now, in Positively Geared, you know, you've almost given a blueprint on how to build to get towards that dream home. And what we love about the term dream home is that it doesn't possess one meaning across the board. Each individual person's going to have their own definition of a dream home. How will Buy Now help people get there?
Yeah, so one of the things about Buy Now is that we actually don't just talk about that dream home. So like you mentioned in Positively Geared, it was about, you know, how you can get to that dream home and use that portfolio to get there. But in Buy Now, it's really about how to find that dream home and what that dream home might mean to you. So we actually go into detail about, you know, where do you want to live? What suburb do you want to live in? We talk about the budgeting for that, setting a financial plan around that, and then go into detail so that you can look at, okay, what sort of family? You've got a growing family. What do you actually need? Do you want to live near the park, near the beach? What does a dream home mean to you? How many bedrooms do you want? How many parking? Do you need an office space at home? Because a lot of people are working from home these days. Do you need a pool? Do you need to be close to schools? Do you need to be close to transport and all those sort of things? And then look at how to locate those sort of properties and how to understand the budgeting for that, given the fact that some properties in certain locations near some of those amenities will actually sell for more than others. So we really go into detail around that. But apart from that, I get a lot of people that come to me who, you know, have the goal of buying a dream home, but they're not in a position to do so at the moment. So they might be able to afford to buy an apartment or a pretty modest home to start with. So we often have the conversation that it might be better to start investing to start with and then building up to that getting that family home maybe in 5-10 years' time. So we actually start with some investment properties and using your serviceability more wisely, because if you're investing and you've got rent coming in and then the banks will assess you for your further lending, that's often a much better outcome than maxing yourself out on a smaller property that then you may not be able to afford to move forward beyond that.
And I think, you know, that the title Buy Now, it's so obvious. I mean, buying now, obviously the end game for everyone is to arrive at a dream home, we imagine. Buying now, as you've just said, Lloyd, could be what properties do we need to buy to get us to that dream home, and which properties and in which areas strategically are going to get us there as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely right, Alex. And I think one of the key differences in Buy Now is that we actually set a plan there. We have a strategy document where we look at your goals to get this home, how you're going to get there, and we look at what properties you need to get there, as you've mentioned. Do we need a growth property? Do we need cash flow? Do we need to do a development? Do we need to create equity in some form or do a subdivision? How are you going to get to your second property or your third property? Now, that often means having maybe positive cash flow on the first property to be able to move forward. But if you've used all your deposit on your first property, how do you buy the second property? So we might need to create equity on that first property to move forward, subject to the serviceability you got from your banks. Again, needing to have that dream team around you so that we're always working closely with your broker and things as well. So one of the things I do these days is we sit down with our clients and we look at having that plan put together. So it's not just about buying a property, but it's about actually putting things in a plan and always referring back to that strategy document. Looking at once you bought that first property, putting it in the document and then going by your second property, putting that in there, referring back to your goals, making sure we're on track and understanding how that gets you to the, to that dream home. That dream home often will result in you needing to sell a couple of investment properties to be able to fund your dream home. So often you hear people say you should never sell an investment property, but there's always good reason to sell a property if you need to. I've sold a couple of properties to fund my dream home, for example. So there's always good reason to do that if you need to, and that's all part of that plan.
It's really interesting, and this having the opportunity to have had a read of Buy Now. I love how you really unpack these topics and build on them. Lloyd, part of buying a dream home strategically is, I suppose, you're investing to one degree or another. And, you know, I think fundamentally, if we look at the real core principles of economics and how an economy functions, everything's essentially a trade, right? We're exchanging cash or something of value. I mean, in modern days, it's you know, the dollar for an item. You know, there's an exchange of money for a good. Now, everyone on the planet, and I mean everyone in Australia, whether they openly know it or not, at some stage of their life has made an investment. Now, that could be, you know, for those a bit further on their journey, they might have bought their first property, they might own multiple properties. It could be somebody who's just started in the workforce and they're starting to accumulate super, which is being invested on their behalf. Everyone is actually an investor to some degree. Now, you know, we talk about what makes a successful investor, and I know by now that's another topic that you build on. What does successful mean for you in the investment space, and what should it mean for every individual listening?
Yeah, so success for me always means having it help you achieve the lifestyle goals you want. So it's not about, you know, how much money you have. Wealth is about what it does to your lifestyle. So being a successful investor, you know, might mean having a couple of properties that will give you some security. So you're not so worried about where money's going to come from and things in the future. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to be a millionaire. You often hear people talking about having 20, 30, 50, 100 properties. But what does that actually mean? It's really more about the value of the properties and what they can actually do for you. And I often say there's no point having 100 properties that you know, you might buy for $10,000 each in some, you know, outback location that then don't get any growth. So you're better off having one really good property. So success means, okay, yeah, what are the goals and how can that help me get there? So if my goal is to buy a dream home, and I need to maybe get 4 or 5 investment properties to help me get there, then that would be a success if I can get there. Or if I want to be able to put kids through school, and private school fees are fairly expensive, having a couple of properties to help fund that, that would be success. Or leaving a legacy, you know, for your kids and things like that. So that's about being a successful investor. But it all comes back to strategy, which is something that I've always talked about. So it's not just about going out and buying a property. It's always understanding what you're trying to achieve, what the actual goal is. So understanding in the first place, what does success mean to you? Set that strategy. And then always when you're buying that first property, understand how that's going to help you get into the second property. Even if you're buying a home as your first investment, because I always call even a home is still an investment because it's property and it's going to be worth some money to you in the future, even when you sell, you want to be looking at your next step.
You know, we talk about strategy, and Lloyd, you kept mentioning something which hopefully our listeners picked up on. You know, we talk about getting there. So what's getting there? It's getting to your final destination or outcome, whatever the strategy essentially was trying to achieve. And, you know, I think part of success in investing in the property space or any space is it's sticking to that strategy. So, you know, you hear stories all the time, particularly we'll use the money markets as an example because it's a bit more liquid than property. But, you know, I'm sure you see this in property too. If clients that you're dealing with, you know, they implement a strategy, the strategy gets there, for lack of a better term. I'm saying that in inverted commas, meaning that they get to their what's the end of what they're trying to achieve. And, you know, usually at that point, you're then faced with the opportunity cost of, okay, well, what do we do next? Is that money worth keeping here? Should it be moved to somewhere else? Because, you know, it's probably time to set a new strategy depending on where you are in your life. But do you ever find people, you see resistance in people once they do achieve their strategy in terms of, you know, for example, let's say that you had invested in a stock that, you know, when it got to this price, you were going to pull that money out to invest it elsewhere or whatever the case may be. Could be a property when they're in the building phase of a portfolio. Do you find there's a lot of pushback on people? I don't know if greed's the right term, but, you know, something might be performing well. And then it becomes a case of, okay, well, let's hold on a bit longer. And then obviously market forces can shift so rapidly in any space at the moment. How do you help people work through knowing when it's the right time to possibly move one property on or move an asset on to help get them towards their end game?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. And, you know, it really does come down to, you know, helping them to remember And that's why we jot things down in a strategy plan. Understand and remember what their goals are. Always think of the long term. And the other way to always look at that is when people start to, you know, think, oh, is the market too hot to buy in, or is it too cold to buy in? You know, people think, oh, if I buy now, I'm not going to get much growth for a couple of years or something. But that's actually, you know, not a bad time to buy if the market's a little bit softer. I mean, look at all the money people made during the GFC, for example. There's always hesitancy from people. Often people have big goals, but then when it comes to doing something, they're a bit hesitant. I always remind people what the long-term goal is, and this will help you get there. If you, you know, have the analysis paralysis, you know, for too long, that'll actually prevent you from doing this. And it's amazing. People often have, you know, very big goals that they might want to achieve, a big passive income, or they might want to have a big portfolio of, you know, buying 10 properties in 10 years, which is sort of an analogy I don't really like when I hear people using those exact numbers, for example. But when they have those sort of plans, but then they often have trouble even sort of executing on their first purchase. So I always try to bring people back to earth and say, let's just get the first property over the line. You know, we'll make sure it's a good run, but let's just get it over the line. Because often people are thinking too much like, well, what if I can't buy my fifth property? What happens in 10 years' time if this happens? And so on. But there's too much sort of negativity and worry about that. You can't time markets and you can't control markets. You can just control your own actions at the moment. And that comes back to why I've written the book called Buy Now, because I do think that, you know, now is the right time to buy. As long as you're in a financially fit situation, there's always a right time to buy. It's just about working out where to buy and what strategy to use in the current markets.
I think you're spot on, Lloyd. And you know, once again, it's a pulse check on your strategy. I think buy now is a great pulse check on your overall perception about, you know, the investing space in property. It's a good segue into one of the last topics which we're going to cover in today's podcast, which is if success is defined by a strategy which reaches an end game or an end goal. You know, obviously part of that is we need time. So not every strategy is a case of in 6 or 12 months from now, we're going to get to our destination. I mean, you know, Lloyd, how hard you've had to work to get yourself to this stage in life and business. You know, a lot of strategic planning is over a longer term in terms of getting towards that goal. And, you know, you mentioned before, you don't like how people say, oh, well, I want 10 properties in 10 years and stuff like that. So we want to sort of just deviate away a bit now from, you know, clearly defined timelines over a longer time, because I want to talk about what's the best way people can get a bit more instant traction with wherever they are in their investing journey, and whether that's they've just bought their dream home or they're working towards that dream home. You know, one of the quickest and best ways to create instant equity, which, you know, we have spoken about in the past in Positively Geared, is, you know, renovating an existing property or upsizing. And by that, I mean working with your existing dwelling. So potentially building up extensions, you know, things that can create instant equity and can obviously help get you closer to what would be your dream property, but also unlock equity, which can once again be used elsewhere to fast track your progress.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. So like I spoke a lot about in Positively Geared, you know, it was all about sort of growing equity, especially through duplexes and things like that. I mentioned a little bit about renovation then, but buy now goes into a lot more detail about renovation strategies, because they're basically the sort of things that, you know, the everyday mum and dad can do in their own home, like you mentioned, but also investors on lower budgets. Now, we're not just talking about, you know, structural renovations and, you know, adding a second story or adding an extra bedroom or anything like that. It's also about those cosmetic changes that can really add value. And for people who have got, you know, a lower budget, or they don't have a lot of deposit and things like that, but they want to either be able to move into buying their own home, or they want to get into another investment, they need to be able to grow equity so that then the bank can refinance that property, give it a valuation, refinance it, hopefully it's worth more than the loan that's owing on it, and then you'll be able to use that as a deposit to be able to move to another property. To be able to do that, you need to increase the value. you don't want to wait for 3 or 5 years or so for it to grow in value. You want to be able to move along a bit quicker. So, you know, cosmetic renovations are great. So if you can update the kitchen or maybe even put in sort of a new kitchen, a sort of a cheaper kitchen like Caboodle Kitchen or something like that, update the bathroom, you know, do a paint job, do the floor coverings, the window coverings, and also some landscaping and tidy up the, maybe do the front fence, put in a new letterbox because that gives a good street appeal. Those sort of things are really good as well. What I do like to do is try to add $3 for every $1 I spend. So in, you know, in very simple terms, if you have a property for $400,000 and you spend 5% of the property's value on a renovation, so that's $20,000, you know, I'd hope to make $60,000 back in immediate equity. So that's immediate equity, which can be done, you know, in just a matter of weeks if you've got your tradies lined up, or better still, if you can do it yourself. And then, you know, use that equity to sort of move into another purchase, for example. So so that's a good way of being able to move forward. Obviously, if you do something bigger like structural renovations, you can potentially make higher gains because adding an extra bedroom makes it appeal to a larger market and yeah, it can be worth more money. So those sort of things I think can work really well in helping you be able to move forward and quicker process, quicker time frame than waiting for a development, waiting for the DA, waiting for the whole build to complete and everything like that. So I do go into detail in Buy Now about how to execute those sort of strategies, about how to sort of do it yourself. It's not just about, you know, getting builders in and doing things like that. I've got a couple of my own case studies in there and case studies of other people I've worked with, including people who have actually done it themselves on lower budgets as well.
I think a few really good takeaway points for those listening today is, you know, in the space of, you know, fast-tracking equity, manufacturing equity, as the term you use in Positively Geared, your previous book, is, you know, if we understand what creates appeal in the market, we're going to exponentially increase our chances of improving the value of our property, you know, the sale price we can likely achieve. And what I love is that, you know, it's appropriate irrespective of what market we're in, whether the market is in a boom, whether the market is, you know, in a bit of a trough period. One thing remains true in my view, which is, you know, buyers will always recognize quality. And for those who are renovating, whether it's with the intent to sell up to help get you towards your dream home, or just know that you've done everything you can so that when the time is right to make a move, you know that you've given yourself your best shot at really maximizing your return. For me, it's that turnkey property where you've intelligently invested some money, you've got really nice appeal, the buyer can walk through the door and say, well, you know what, we don't need to spend a dollar here, Lloyd. That's going to fare much better than potentially the property that needs, you know, $100,000 thrown at it, and you know there's tiles off the floor that are broken and the lights flickering, and you know you're just never gonna give yourself the opportunity to maximize the potential equity the property can generate. Or by contrast, you know, if you are not necessarily looking at just unlocking equity in your home, but you are looking to move that property on to get into your next property, it's really important that you do as much as you can to enhance that appeal in the market. I think the other thing too, Lloyd, is you know, in terms of what you're looking for as a buyer's agent, it also can be an opportunity because those properties generally, I find, when there's work to be done, would it be fair to say that they're less emotive? It's more, we're looking at the transaction costs of the deal.
Absolutely, Alex. So we are looking at the transaction costs there. They are less emotive. But just taking a step back, funny story there, because before Renee and I moved into our current home, we actually sold our previous home to help fund that, where we lived in the Inner West. And that was a, you know, beautiful little home. It was 100 years old, but it was renovated when we moved into it, so it didn't quite look 100 years old at the time. But it was starting to look older again by the time we'd, were about to put it on the market. And you know, coming back to what you're saying, it had tiles falling off the wall in the bathroom. It had leaking shower. It had when it rained, the water would come through the skylights in the roof, and the back doors leaked and closed properly, and I don't think the front door closed either. So anyway, needless to say, we renovated this house so that we could sell it for more money. And we did. So it was good, yeah, good job renovating it. But after we did that, we thought, oh, I wish we could stay here a little bit longer. Now the house looks great. So that's just a good example of what you're basically saying. But we use those renovations in our home to help get, you know, extra profit, and particularly in a market at the time. And this was back in, you know, 2018, which was sort of starting to slow down, you know, a bit at the time. And I think if we hadn't renovated and made it look really pretty, we probably would have struggled to sell, and certainly wouldn't have sold for what we did. So those sort of tactics are really good. So when people are looking to upsize, then I think the market really does demand you to present something that is, yeah, that is nice, is renovated, and stage the property. So so either really stage it, or make sure that you're, if you're presenting with your own furniture, that everything's really neat and everything like that, because I think that's what the market really wants. That will get you, you know, extra results, and that'll really help you, you know, have that extra deposit to be able to move forward to buy that property you want moving forward. So, yeah, those efforts are worth it.
That's a great example, Lloyd. And it's great that you can share that case study about your own property, because I think, you know, it really stands so true when you're not in that really, you know, peak period of market where you can almost, the homeowner can put the signboard up themselves and they'll probably get a great price for it just by standing there at the door on the open day.
Oh, can I just say something about that too? We actually sold that property ourselves too. So pity we still have to pay the agent the commission, but he wasn't having that much success selling the property. And then one day we had a knock at the door from someone who wanted to come in and view the property. This is after the open had finished for the day. And the guy came in, he loved the property, he ended up buying it. and here I was selling the property to him. I shouldn't have the agent in the first place anyway.
And look, everyone take that. I'm playing devil's advocate now, because I mean, Lloyd's the buyer's agent, I'm the selling agent, but not everyone can probably pull that off, Lloyd. So credit where it's due, mate. So Lloyd, we've discussed a lot today. I think we've only touched on maybe 1% of what people can find in Buy Now. Thank you so much for your time. Where can people get a copy of your new book, Buy Now?
Yeah, so the book's available at all good bookshops. So it's available online at Amazon and Booktopia, but also through, you know, bookshops such as QBD and Collins and so on. But look, I'd just like to say that, yeah, look, the book's for everybody. And like Positively Geared, you know, I wrote the book just to try to get the message out there, to just give people some information and stuff like that. It's not a marketing tool. It's there just to try to give people some information to help them in the markets. Yes, it does have case studies of some of my clients, but that's just to give people examples of what people have actually done and things like that. But I really hope that you know, people can get a lot out of it, and it might help them on their own journey, because I do know that people do, you know, struggle to find, you know, their own home and things within budget. And particularly, yeah, not just clients that come to me, but, you know, I speak to just general friends or people that I come across, or even people in shops, friends of friends who just having trouble, breaking into the market, understanding the markets and things like that. So the book's just got information that hopefully will just help people out to be able to be a little bit more confident and to be able to understand how to broach certain things within the real estate industry.
Absolutely. I think, you know, all of your work, Lloyd, is educational. There's no strings attached. There's no hook at the end of the book which says, you know, you must call me and use us to do X, Y, Z. There's lots of really good, high quality, easy to understand information in there. I think you're one of the pioneers in the space too, in terms of, you know, you've really already, I mean, just through Positively Geared, Lloyd, you've given people a blueprint on exactly what you've done and how you've done it. I mean, we don't usually get that level of insight from anyone in the space that's achieved the level of success that you have. So I just want to compliment you on that. I think Buy Now is going to be one of the best reads you'll find anywhere this year in terms of property and investing. And with so much more in store for the market this year, you know, I just can't wait to get back in the booth so that we can talk more about obviously extracting more from Buy Now, but also what we can expect from the property market this year and how we can help people on their journey.
Great. Thanks, Alex, and thanks for those comments, and great to be with you again.
Thanks, Lloyd. It's been great.